Hewlett and Dunn, serving you and your family since 1961.
We are Sports 56, WHBQ Memphis, and W253 DF Memphis, Flynn Broadcasting Stations.
It's time for Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. The first hour of Sports Time is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome in to Sports Time. Bryant Dacus, Brett Norsworthy, Johnny Hill with you on this, what's today, Thursday afternoon? This week's been a weird week, guys. Some days feels like it's kind of flown by. Other days I look up and think it's a day before, day ahead. But we're with you for the next 3 hours. Plenty to get to. A lot of NBA basketball to talk about with one series getting done last night and Dallas taking a controlling lead in the second one with a massive win over the Clippers. So plenty to get to today. But Brett, how are you this afternoon?
Well, May 2nd, right? I'm ready. I got it all in order.
Hard to believe it's May 2nd.
Hard to believe it's May 2nd. And tomorrow we will talk Kentucky Derby. Mm-hmm. And Saturday, the oldest sporting event in the United States.
How about that?
The Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
150th.
Yeah, and you're starting to see a lot of excitement building for that. It's always around that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday that you really see that excitement building for the Kentucky Derby, and it should be a lot of fun. I know Johnny Radio was talking about it earlier today, trying to get his bets in line and figure out what he was going to do for this
big
weekend.
Four-horse quad box,
that's right,
you know.
Yes. So, a lot of excitement around it. That will be a lot of fun. Like you said, we'll talk about it. We'll bring our win place show and fourth place to the table tomorrow. So that should be a lot of fun.
We'll try to drag a fourth horse out of Bruce Marshall. He hates that because he knows
good
a
luck,
lot of that.
Yeah.
He's like parlays.
Uh-huh.
It's really sucker bets.
Sure.
But we will try the big field of 20 horses running, already a scratch, but they've had a replacement horse. Ask John Harden this tomorrow.
Okay.
I know you haven't because you don't drink.
Sure.
So respect that. Nor Johnny as well. And even when I did, they were hideous. Mm-hmm. Ask John Harden if he likes mint juleps.
I will.
That's the drink. That's the drink at the Kentucky Derby. And I've had battery acid. It tasted better.
As I say, it doesn't sound very good. And most
people they're hideous.
That I've talked to.
Nobody can say they're good.
Yeah, well, I was about to say, most people that I know that have at least had it before, they're like, yeah, it's awful. I mean, I don't think, and I was like, why do you drink it? They're like, it's tradition. You watch Kentucky Derby and you have mint julep. I was like,
okay, cool.
All right, whatever.
But you're never, ever, ever at a bar.
Mm-mm.
That, okay, what's everybody get here? Well, an old fashioned, or give me a vodka tonic, give me a beer, and give me a mint julep. Nobody.
Never.
Nobody's ever gone to the bar and said, round of mint juleps for everybody, except for tomorrow, or Saturday, rather.
Sure. Tradition. It is what it is, but you're right. If anybody's ordering that outside of the Kentucky Derby, or outside of watching the Kentucky Derby, it's rough. It's very rough.
It's my theory about duck. Ducks only eaten at hunting clubs. Nobody ever goes to a great restaurant and go, I don't see your duck on here anywhere.
No duck? That's a good point. I've never really thought about that before, but that's
actually been to Ducks Unlimited banquets that they didn't even serve duck. They serve barbecue.
How about that? Well, I mean, hard to...
Because nobody wants to eat that crap.
Hard to top barbecue anywhere.
And we'll get a recipe before this segment ends of, if you take the duck and you marinate it for 7 days in a $1,000 bottle of wine and wrap it with 12 strips of bacon around it and cook it just right, it might take the gamey taste out of it.
Seems like a lot of steps just to try to get it out. Might get it
right.
Out. No thank you on that. I'll stick to the barbecue and all of that fun stuff.
And steak and,
sure.
And tried and true.
And sure.
I was telling Johnny earlier. Same way, Brian, we're the same kind of eaters. We like to run the ball and stop the run our delicacies, don't we?
That's right. I'm very, very simple.
It's not any halfback passes with us, is it?
No. I'm not, going out there.
Simple.
Run the power play, Johnny.
I mean, now it's like all these
power and counter.
The tight end in motion and bucket up in there.
We're not getting creative with ours. It's just, simple.
Downhill.
That's absolutely right. Yes, we are very similar eaters.
Keep the snap count simple, too.
Yes, absolutely.
That just gets the offensive lineman confused.
Sure. Sure.
Go on the first down. Yeah. Keeps it simple.
We don't need anything creative. We're just, you know, stick to the playbook, and we'll be all right. And
that's when you're changing out of a bunch of plays, you're asking your offensive lineman to stay in that stance forever.
That is very true.
And you know they're ready to get up.
A lot of audibles. A lot of audibles.
It's hard.
It sure is. It absolutely is. Well, Brett, we had a couple of NBA games last night. A couple snoozers. They
two
were
blowouts.
Over before it felt like they even started. But Celtics
I never saw the end of either.
No, I mean I don't blame you because I think you knew pretty much at halftime what both those games were going to be.
In fact, on my NBA bracket, I moved the Celtics into the next bracket at halftime, up 22.
Wow, bold. But I think you felt pretty good at halftime that nothing was going to happen. Probably could have even moved it before the game started and said at some point
probably
Celtics are going to win this series. It just never felt like it was much of a battle.
And we talked about it yesterday, and they're so good, and we so much respect we have for, as Brent Musburger used to say, the boys in Vegas, when you really couldn't talk about wagering on there. But yesterday, both of those were just begging you to take both favorites.
Sure, yeah. And
the enormity of the line, the other one, road favorite.
That's right. And so, I was surprised to certainly see, we talked a lot yesterday about the Dallas spread and you know, kind of shocked both of us that 3.5 points on the road, and obviously, you know, Vegas knew what they were talking about because Dallas went out there and made it look extremely easy over the Clippers. But yeah, I mean, who would have thought that the Celtics would have won that game like that in that fashion? And then the same with Dallas later in the night. Two really impressive performances, and now for the Mavericks, got a great opportunity to go back and finish out the series at home.
Close things out.
Yeah.
They sure do, and that will start the questions in the offseason again for the Clippers.
Sure.
A franchise that you have to give them credit, especially the last – well, I used that stat the other day since the 2011-2012 season, the 6-17 basketball that they played. I used it yesterday in big number of the day. They've gone for it.
Yeah.
I mean they've really put the work in, and it to no avail. They've gotten no more than in all those years they weren't going for it.
Yeah.
When they had the worst ownership maybe in the history of team sport under Donald Sterling.
Well, that was the really good number you brought yesterday of just kind of like how competitive this team has been, how good they've been, and you know, that winning percentage, and it just seems like you look at that and think, "Oh, that's domination. I mean, that is a really successful team." But then you look postseason, they just have not had much success when the lights get bright in playoff time.
And tonight we got more NBA, and then we're going to get into – and tomorrow we got to make a next-round pick, least one.
Yeah, we sure do, because we've got at least one series.
Maybe a few hockey picks in there tomorrow, too.
We gotta check in on the hockey. I'm pretty sure we got to – maybe a couple of series getting ready to start this weekend for the
Did you
round.
Watch the closing after they pulled the goalie minutes last night in the Stars game?
Nope, I was watching baseball. I missed it.
I turned it on at about the time they pulled the goalie. Who were they playing? Who the Stars beat?
It was the Stars versus the Golden Knights.
Golden Knights, that's it. Defending champs, aren't they?
Yes, they are. That's right.
They pulled the goalie, I'm going to say, with about 2 minutes to play. The action was something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, especially – action gets crazy when you pull a goalie in regular season games. I mean, postseason just makes it even more insane. And
two times on kind of caroms, one from the goalie for the Stars and just another one kind of off a skate. It was about to go in on the other end for a goal, and – Las Vegas got down there just in time to sweep it away before it crossed through.
Crazy. Well, I mean,
I probably used horrible terminology there because I don't know the sport.
You got the message across. If you did, you know, I'm sure we'll get some.
That was my 2 minutes of hockey last night.
Well, and I'm sure we'll get some sort of hockey fan. It's not called that. That's not how you. That's not what happened.
Is that the crease?
The crease. There you go. Bingo. How about that?
Yeah.
Earlier, I think it was over the weekend, we had a game where the Nashville...
We once had a show on this station when we carried the River Kings, and I want to say that it was a kind of inside hockey show, and the name of it was, Would it be inside the crease or outside the crease? What would
inside,
be more
it'd
the,
be inside the crease.
I used to love the River Kings, man. You know, I'm from Mississippi. I love the River Kings.
That's right. River Kings.
Yeah, I'm talking the Memphis River Kings at the Coliseum, though, Johnny. Not
I'm talking about the Mississippi River Kings.
You're thinking about the Church Road River Kings.
That's right. But, yeah, there was a – speaking of pulling the goalie, the Nashville Predators, I think it was over the weekend, had an opportunity to get a big win and had an empty netter. The opposing team pulled their goalie, had an empty netter, tried to flip it up in there, missed it. The other team came back and won. I mean, crazy ending to that one.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, so it gets interesting when a team pulls their goalie.
In American Airlines Center in Dallas, I mean, it was it was going crazy down the stretch of that game. You know, great fans. They've won it once since they've been in Dallas. Won Stanley Cup.
I think so. Maybe. I don't know.
Got it pretty early.
Yeah.
After they moved south from Minneapolis, they were the Minnesota North Stars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But no, they've got a good fan base, and like you said, it was rocking in there. It's been rocking in there, and. I don't know. I don't know who I'm really cheering for in that series. Maybe Dallas.
Oh, I know who I'm for. I'm for Dallas. That's who I picked.
Well, yeah, that makes it easy.
I picked really Dallas. You picked Dallas. Johnny picked Dallas.
That?
Group lock.
Sweet.
Group lock.
How about that? So we're big.
Speaking of group locks in the NBA, we are now 4-1 for the first round. That's all we can do. That's all we had. We're 4-1.
That's good. That's good stuff.
We had a loser in Miami in the play-in game. And then we won on Minnesota in the best of seven, Denver, Boston, and Oklahoma City, 4-1.
Wow. Hey, look, that's much better than than our football group locks.
Much better.
That we are usually
atrocious. We don't get to play best of seven in football.
That's a great point, Brett. Great point. It's only a one-off there, and we're not very good when it comes to group locks.
And today we had real breaking news. I don't know if it's your top story or not top. It's not neither for me. But Joey Brackett speaks.
Oh, geez. I mean, I guess you got
May 2nd, bracketology.
You got to have Joey Brackett doing something when it's not bracket season. But, you know, hey Joe, take a break. I mean, go on a long vacation somewhere and not think about a bracket for a while.
I don't know what's dumber, that I read it, that I'm going to talk about it, or that he did it. I'm sorry that I'm joining in the dumb parade.
That's a toss up. I mean, I don't know which one is which one's worse.
The Memphis Tigers at 8.
Uh-huh.
He loves some Penny Hardaway, doesn't he?
He sure does. He had them at 11 in his first way too early bracket.
Arrow up.
So only
today.
Going up. How about that?
It's only up from here, Brett.
Tell me in what world. In any bracketology, and remember, this bracketology is out. We're not even 1 month removed from UConn cutting down the nets. Mm-hmm. It has not even been a month yet.
Right?
Did you realize that?
I did not. It feels
and how this time flies by.
It sure does fly. That is hard to believe, but you are.
We are still under a month since UConn crowned national champions, and he's got his bracket out. Look, it's for show business.
Sure.
I understand, and again, I'm talking about it. But in what world, in roster composition, would Memphis be an 8 seed and Arkansas be a 10 seed?
Wow, he has Arkansas as a 10 seed. Interesting. I mean, numbers game, Brett. You know, Arkansas has what, like 5 players on their roster right now. I mean, playing a numbers game at that point. Tigers just. They have like 7 guys, and so 7 outweighs 5, Brett. I hate to tell you, but that's how math works, I guess, for Joey B.
And a 1-bid AAC.
Well, that I think is more realistic than Arkansas being a 10, much more realistic than Arkansas being a 10.
And that's what the Tigers could face next March at Dickey's Arena,
even
if non-conference goes swimmingly, if conference goes much better than it did this year. They will probably still have to win that tournament to get a bid.
Yeah, it seems like it. And I mean, I think the hope is, you know, if you have really good non-conference and you really take care of conference play. But I still don't think you want to give any chance of if this conference is as bad as it looks like it's shaping up to be. And then you go out there in the conference tournament, you've played well in conference and you go out and lose. You don't want to leave that kind of in the air. on, you know, should we put this Memphis team in there or not? You need to go out and win it and just make it very easy for the committee. They have to be in there. They're the automatic qualifier for it.
And we think the portal has closed, but our friend Kevin Sweeney had a great tweet just a little bit ago. His tweet says this, and he was responding to John Fanta talking about players who have already transferred to other schools are still getting phone calls from schools that are pursuing the player and trying to offer even more money. And Kevin responded, this was somewhat predictable, given that players can decommit after the portal deadline as long as they haven't enrolled in classes somewhere else and still be eligible immediately. So it's not closed.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is because I know it's still the transfer portal is just so new, and I know there's been a lot of confusion in the past of, like, has this guy signed yet? And signed is not the right word because they're just enrolling in classes because they're already collegiate students. And so, that's the thing is, you know, these guys are not announcing and then immediately signing their NLI and you know, bound to that team that they committed to. Up until they enroll for class, I mean, they are definitely out there for the taking, and so you'll definitely see that. I think we're probably past the point where a couple more trickle in. I know we saw like one or two this morning that trickled in because of, you know, athletic departments and compliance offices. It takes a little time. But now we'll start seeing a lot of guys opting out of the NBA draft, and those names will start popping up, and it will kind of be a reminder of that. Oh, that guy was in the draft but had put his name in the portal a long time ago. So it's definitely going to be interesting with this kind of new world of college basketball. But we got a really busy show today, so let me set up today's show before we get to top and not top story of the day. 3:30, Steve Macy, the Senior Director for Team Business and Event Operations for the Memphis Showboats. He'll join us in our next segment to talk about the Showboats as they're back at home this weekend. Home game last week, home game this week. So it'll be nice to get out there. Weather looks good for Saturday morning, an early game, 11 a.m. game for them against the D.C. Defenders. So we'll talk a lot about the Showboats, what happened last week, and what to expect this weekend for them. 3:45, we'll talk some NBA playoffs. We had two games last night, two blowouts, and the Celtics advancing to the next round. Tonight, a pair of games, Bucks at Pacers, an early tip-off for them, 5:30 tip time on TNT, and then the late-night game, 8 o'clock, Knicks and 76ers, trying to get that first one early so you can try to make it not as late for that last one, being in Philadelphia, 8 o'clock tip time, that's 9 o'clock in Philly, so it's going to be really late for those East Coast fans, so we'll talk a lot of NBA at 3:45. 4 o'clock, we'll stick with that same topic because Keith Smith from SpotTrack and the Front Office Show, he'll join us to talk the NBA. 4:30, we'll get to some baseball talk. There's a lot of action today as not a ton of teams going, but a lot of those teams getting early starts in. 4:45, we get to big number of the day. 5 o'clock, Greg Gaston will join us to talk Tigers and plenty to talk about when it comes to the Memphis Tigers, football, basketball, a lot going on. 5:30, we'll get to what's trending. And at 5:45, we'll wrap up today's show like we always do with Taco Bell Crunch Time. Let me remind you, we're in our Family Leisure Studios where family and fun come together. Factory Direct Pricing is going on right now for swimming pools, spas, and patio furniture. It's patio season. Come by Family Leisure and check out the new 2024 patio furniture sets. Pool season will be here before we know it, so buy now to get in line for your pool installation and get preseason pricing. Save $1,000 to $5,000 on all spas and swim spas. Also, special pricing on all in-stock saunas, theater seating, pool tables, and outdoor kitchens, but only at Family Leisure, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40.
We are Sports Time with Bryant and Brett, and we're with you until 6 o'clock, produced by Johnny Hill, and our text and call line is 901-360-8255. That is the Sissy's Log Cabin text and call line, and all our guests will appear on the very same number at 901-360-8255 at our Sissy's Log Cabin guest line this hour of our show, brought to you by Lexus of Memphis at 2600 Ridgeway and online at lexusofmemphis.com. Great offers on all 2024 models and always special leasing options. I don't know how many times I've given out the phone number to this radio station, and I almost forgot it then when I said 901-360-8255. But Lexus of Memphis, they're our sponsor for this hour. Great offers on all 2024 models and always special leasing options. Driving luxury and confidence, knowing that every new Lexus comes with complimentary first and second maintenance services. Their number call them at 901-334-9673. But better yet, stop by 2600 Ridgeway at the one and only Lexus dealership in town and put yourself in the driver's seat of the all-new 2024 flagship LS500. You'll be looking great, and you'll be driving in style. When you purchase a Lexus, you get top-of-the-line engineering and design, and they make for the luxury driving experience. Online at LexusOfMemphis.com. Experience amazing at Lexus of Memphis.
Top story of the day.
Well, my top story of the day, it's got to be the news from this morning. TJ Bamba, who visited Memphis last weekend, he has committed to the University of Oregon. That was announced earlier this morning by John Rothenstein from CBS, who announced that the former Villanova guard, a bigger guard, more size guard, would be taking his talents to Eugene, Oregon. He's from that area, kind of West Coast guy, so it's not a huge surprise that he went back to Oregon. And honestly, I was talking about this earlier, but it just felt like as more and more time went on, that it was less and less likely that TJ Bamba would commit to Memphis. I think Penny Hardaway has so much success when it comes to guys that he gets on campus, but usually he does such a great job that those guys commit either the last day of their visit, a day after, 2 days after. It seems right after those visits are done, he usually gets a commitment within the next 3 or 4 days. With TJ Bamba, it just seemed a little different. He got here, and from the moment he took his visit, it kind of went quiet. After that, it got even quieter on kind of his decision, what he was going to end up doing, and now we know that he's going to go to Oregon. I don't think this is the worst outcome, the worst possibility when it comes to this Tigers roster, because I do think, we talked about it yesterday, Brett, with David Jones not entering the transfer portal, entering his name into the transfer portal, I think that gives Memphis a lot of hope of his return. Obviously, if he goes and works out for teams, if he goes to the combine and gets good responses back from NBA people saying, look, we want you, we'll take you in the second round, we think you can be a part of our franchise, then I definitely want him to go and take advantage of that if that's what he thinks is the best for him. But on the other side, this kind of means it's either pro route or back to Memphis, and I like the chances of him returning for one last season. He's been very interactive with Memphis fans and stuff, so I think that's also a good sign. And then when you add him into the fold, there's a lot of guards on this roster and a lot of guards that are coming in and wanting to be an impact player, coming from places where they were a go-to guy. I know TJ Bamba was not number one or number two on his team, but he wants to go somewhere where he can make an impact. With what Memphis has already brought in, I think it's taken away some of those minutes. I think Penny Hardaway now, if he's going to go out and get guards, needs to get guys that he can tell them coming in, hey, you're going to be a guy that we bring off the bench, and we're going to have to rely on you to give us 14, 15 minutes a game and give us good minutes off the bench. I don't think TJ Bamba was that guy. I think he wants to be somewhere where he can be a starter. So I really like the way this roster is being constructed right now. I think they need to turn their eyes to now the front court and get some big man in here. But I don't think losing out on TJ Bamba is a huge loss for the Tigers.
I like that David Jones, it does not feel like Memphis is just a stop on his basketball journey.
No, it really doesn't.
It didn't feel like it with Kendrick. It has with others. I don't have to name them. I think most people can identify. And that's not just transfer. Sometimes that's hot coming out of high school.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like that with David Jones. It does feel like he wants to ingratiate and endear himself onto Tiger, into Tiger fans' hearts. And that's good, because we're now in an era where, I said the other day, now all we really do know is their number.
That's
we
right.
don't get to know them anymore, and that's unfortunate for them. My top story, Boston, as expected, moved on. They moved on easily, and Dallas wins on the road easily over the Clippers. The Clippers have tried everything. They've tried bringing in big stars, different coaches, different uniforms, now trying to build a new building. They've tried just about everything. New owner, great owner. Can you think of a sport, of the sports out there, professional sports, the big three that we mostly cover,
sure,
that there's a wider gap between one of the teams that won last night, Boston, the pristine image that they have, and the image of the Clippers?
Nah.
Can you think of a wider gap out there in sports?
No.
It's really not one.
Uh-uh.
I mean, it is that big a divide between the Boston Celtics and something called the Clippers.
Not top story of the day.
What a name for a basketball team, the Clippers. Love that. My not top story of the day, it's got to be the NBA playoffs. Two games last night, and both of them were just blowouts. None were even in question on who would win that one. Celtics early take complete advantage of the Heat. 41 points in the first quarter for Boston, and from there was really no looking back. It was so big that, I mean, starters didn't even play in the fourth quarter. They were being taken out midway through the third quarter and saying, hey, enjoy the rest of this game from the bench, because, you know, we're just watching this one play out. Second game was not much different, 123-93. The Mavs get the win over the Clippers. I was really, really impressed by the Mavericks and what they did, you know, shooting over 50% from the field. Obviously, Luka Doncic with 35 points looked really, really good, but they got some really good minutes from a lot of different guys. Derek Jones Jr. with 12 points, Maxi Kleba off the bench with 15, Derek Lively, the rookie, with 12 points and 7 rebounds off the bench. They got some really good minutes from guys we always kind of talk about. They need these role players to step up if it's going to be that go-for-it year for the Mavs. We saw them do it last night. Now they'll return home for game 6, and we'll see if they can wrap it up there. And if these role players play like they did last night, I think we'll be talking about the Mavericks in the next round.
Right, before I give my not top story, I want you to please accept my apology before I ever offer in my not top story. The golf picks have turned us into caged animals.
They have already
this year, and we had a very ugly scene today with golf picks. We'll get to it later.
It's unfortunate.
But please forgive me before I get started. But my not top story of the day, Ezekiel Elliott says unfinished business with the Cowboys. Unfinished? When did it start? He's played in a grand total of 6 playoff games with the Cowboys. They are 2-4 in those games. He's got a grand total of 2 touchdowns rushing, 0 receiving. Unfinished? We ain't got to the starter gate yet. 2 100-yard rushing games. But in those games, he's got a solo tackle. He's got 1 less tackle than he has rushing touchdowns in playoff games for the Cowboys. It's not about the Super Bowl for the Cowboys. They haven't played in an NFC championship game since the 95 season, January of 96.
Instead of unfinished business, it should be starting business.
Open for business.
Open for business.
Open for business, Brett.
Here comes the business.
Maybe for sale.
Put the open sign out, Johnny.
Good Lord.
Yes, hey, man. Brian, you need to get on that, making that sign, man.
Johnny, nobody creates more headlines for themselves than the Dallas Cowboy players. I mean, they know how to make headlines.
As long as you got your tissues.
The Kentucky basketball Dallas Cowboy parallels are unbelievable.
Thank you. That's what I wanted to compare myself to, a Kentucky basketball fan. I appreciate that, Brett. On that note, that'll do it for top and not top story of the day. Let's go ahead and get to a break. And when we come back, we're talking Showboats with Steve Macy.
Be sure to follow us at Sports56WHBQ on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube to watch live video of our shows, stay up to date with station events, and have chances to win prizes. Don't miss out on anything that's going on. Follow us at Sports56WHBQ. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you in our Family Leisure Studios. And joining us now on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line, Steve Macy, the Senior Director for Team Business and Event Operations for the Memphis Showboats. He joins us now to talk some boat football. Steve, thanks so much for joining us. Another home game this weekend against the Birmingham Stallions, 5-0 team coming to town to take on the Showboats. But last week, the Showboats, another home game, they fall at home to the Michigan Panthers. Troy Williams, the starting quarterback for them, instead of Case Cookis. What did you think of him in his first start for the Showboats last weekend?
Hey, guys, great talking to you. Yeah, it's another home game week, which I'm excited about, and a great opportunity to take down the top team in the league right now. But, yeah, I think Troy looked really good. I mean, that, you know, he's a guy that took his team to the championship game last year. but hadn't played a down since then. And I think it took him a little bit of time to get rolling. And once he did, you know, I think he did a really good job. And I'm excited to see, you know, what kind of quarterback play we get again this week, and hoping to see the offense clicking like we know that it can.
Steve, I thought he did a good job, like you said, if he got settled in. Then he moved the team, and it's the last 2 weeks you've played against the best in the league. And sports often gets down to this, Steve. You need a win. You need any old kind of win. You need some good luck. You need some good bounces. You need to be on the right side of the injury bug. A lot of times sports gets down to it, and one up, four down for the Showboats. That's where you are this Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. You need a win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do, and I think that sports especially is about confidence. And, you know, you look back to the last 48 seconds of the second week, a game in which you dominated 59 of the 60 minutes, and you wonder if that didn't happen, what we would be talking about for this team. And so because this is a team that everybody looked at, and we all did internally and externally, and said, the Showboats are a really, really good football team. They've got players that can really play at a lot of positions. And I think it's just a confidence thing right now. And you have a couple, like you said, a couple breaks go your way, a couple things that happen, and you start getting that mojo back, and this team can go on a deep run. It just hasn't happened here the last couple weeks, and I think you're right. I think you need a break, or you need something to happen, maybe a couple good offensive series and a defensive stop, and start believing again. And I think this team can get rolling just like we thought it could all along.
And that good side, you get rolling. The bad side, it kind of gets to be a self-fulfilling prophecy, really vicious on you. Now Birmingham comes in here, and you could say that Skip Holtz is probably the top of the heap coaching-wise in a league that's got good coaches in it.
Well, I think if you're looking at just from the standpoint of what have they done on the field, well, yeah, I mean, he's got back-to-back championships, and they've beaten everybody so far this year on their schedule. And I think, you know, when you're talking about confidence, he obviously has it, mm-hmm. and his team has it. He started two different quarterbacks, and it almost seems like they're just as good with either one of them. And I think, you know, we need to kind of knock them off that confidence pedestal and do some things that, you know, shake their confidence a little bit and let our guys, you know, feel the home crowd excitement and energy. And, you know, whatever you want to say about, you know, what – St. Louis and their 30 or 40,000 and whatever, our fans are loud. They're into it. They have more fun than anybody in this entire league. And if you come to a game and you don't have fun, you're not trying. I promise, because it is a great time, and our players feed off of it. And I think, you know, they can get a little momentum going and get the crowd into it and build off of that. I think this team can beat anybody any day.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And kind of off that, I mean, we talked about it last week. It seems like this team, for the most part this season, has had really good starts to games. I think back to that game against St. Louis a couple weeks ago where they started off really strong, and it was a very competitive game. And then kind of later in the second half, they kind of let some things get away from them, and St. Louis scores a couple times to make that score look a lot wider than I think that game actually was. You have this Birmingham team that certainly is playing with a lot of confidence. They're coming into town. How important is it Saturday for the Showboats to come out with a ton of confidence, get out to a fast start, to get those fans engaged, and to kind of put a little bit of pressure against this Birmingham team?
I mean, I think that certainly could be a recipe for success. And ultimately, I think they've got to compete. Right? Mm-hmm. You've got to compete for all 60 minutes and be in a position where you feel like that all three facets of the game are clicking. Offense, defense, and special teams, that everybody's just doing their job and not trying to overcomplicate what it is, because a small mistake can be a big thing against a team like Birmingham, and vice versa. You know, I'd like to see Birmingham make a couple mistakes that cost them, and we take advantage of those mistakes. I think a couple times this year where we've had a good break and really haven't been able to do much with it, and those are the times that you can really change how the game is going to go. Like stats, you said it. You know, footballs and sports are small things that happen, and they add up over time. And before you know it, it's impacted the result of the game. And I think we're in a position right now where we need to have some of those things go well together and pack them together. You know, offense helping the defense and vice versa.
Steve, another Saturday morning 11 o'clock game. You don't set those; those are dictated by the by corporate, by the league office. And along those lines, when and we've talked about it this week, Steve, the TV numbers are really good league wide. The viewing numbers for in the Memphis market watching the UFL games are really good. Everybody understands that you need to you need more fans there. While ticket sales are not primary, especially kind of with the stadium getting ready to start a big construction phase. I know you want more and came out of the gate with such a big crowd on opening day last year that that has kind of digressed since that high water mark of opening day last year. The league office or anybody associated with Daryl Johnson, anybody like that, nobody has placed ultimatum on you for the rest of the year on ticket sales, have they?
No, I think we are in a building pattern, right? This is the whole part of this that makes the most sense is that we're building for sustainability. It's not build it so that we can make it this week. It's not build it so that we can make it another season. It's to build it for long term. And so, yes, we have some short term goals and some long term goals. And we're trying to build our community together with Memphis. So the showboats to Memphis and Memphis to the showboats. And part of it is, and I know we've talked about this, but I think it bears repeating, is that the showboats are not going anywhere. I know we've been burned a bunch with professional football in this market, but that doesn't mean that just because it's happened before, it's going to happen again. The league is committed to the showboats and to Memphis. Fox, which owns half of the league, is massively committed to the showboats and Memphis. It's very important to them that this is successful. And so, yes, I always want more fans. I always want more wins. I always want more, you know, media coverage. All of those things that we're striving.
We do too far, you Steve.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I mean, we all want that. But at the same time, we've got to continue to build the trust in the community. We've got, this is on us, the showboats and the league, to build trust in the city of Memphis that we're here and we're here to stay. And that's why we do things like, you know, go to the FedEx house like we did last week when we were here, and we're having a free kids clinic on Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 with our coaches and players at MSEC. We're doing that because we want the community to know that we're committed to Memphis. Yes, we're not here full-time, but that's because we're trying to build this in a way that is sustainable so that financially the league can survive and make it, and then ultimately, you know, walk, crawl, run, and before you know it, you're thriving, and that's what we're working towards, not just trying to be a flash in the pan like all of the other leagues that have come before us.
Mm-hmm. See, it almost parallels what we're literally seeing under construction at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. And if the showboats, and I think they will, make it through the construction phase, come out the other end, still be viable in the community, and catch a spark, I think we'll be fine.
No, I think so. I mean, when you look at the geography and the people of this region, we kind of like football a little bit, right? I mean, football is a little bit important to us. And so I think that spring football has a ton of opportunity to be very, very successful in this market. And I think it will be. The new stadium project is just another feather in our cap and another thing to make this the franchise that everybody's going to look at long term and say, that's the one, right? That is the franchise that is the bell tower for this league. They've got great fan support. They've got a phenomenal facility. Their players are engaged in the community. The community loves them. This is going to be the best franchise in this league, and there's no doubt about it. The stadium's going to be a big part of that.
Yeah. Before we let you go, Steve, this Saturday, Brett mentioned it, Saturday morning, 11 a.m. Against the Birmingham Stallions. What should people expect Saturday morning at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium, and where can they get tickets for that game?
Yeah, so tickets are available at theufl.com/tickets, or just go to theufl.com, and tickets are only $10. And we are giving away showboat bobbleheads this week.
All
so.
Right.
You know, the first few fans that get in the door, they're going to be really happy because they get a free bobblehead. Doors open at 10 a.m., and we'll have them while supplies last. And hopefully, you know, people get there early, you get into the game, have a little bit of fun with us pregame, enjoy the pageantry of of professional football in Memphis. And look, at the end of the day, the team's going to play really, really hard. And I think we're going to compete well against Birmingham. And yes, we desperately want a win, and I think we've got a great shot at getting a win. Yeah. If the team believes in themselves, the fans are going to have a great time and walk away win.
Absolutely. Well, I'm excited for it Saturday morning. Steve, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Hey, thanks, guys. Go Bogues.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Steve. See you Saturday. Thank you.
Steve Macy, the Senior Director for Team Business and Event Operations for the Memphis Showboats, joining us ahead of that big game Saturday morning, 11 a.m., against the Birmingham Stallions. Should be a lot of fun. Make sure you get out there and get out there early as they're giving away free bobbleheads for the first handful of fans that get there. But let's go ahead and get to a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about everything that happened last night in those two NBA playoff games and preview the two games tonight. We're doing that next on Sports Time.
We are real sports talk. Sports 56 WHBQ. Available on your radio dial at 560 AM and 98.5 FM, as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, stay tuned in to real sports talk. Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back into Sports Time. We got to talk the NBA playoffs. We had two games last night, two more games tonight. And, Brett, I'm curious, which performance were you the most impressed with? I think I know your answer. But more impressed with how the Celtics dominated the Heat or the Mavericks win on the road against the Clippers?
It's Mavericks, because I had Clippers winning that series, and they got up 2-0, and now they're on the verge of being out yet again. So it was that, and it was Luka Doncic, and really just how easy they did it. It was surgical every way they did it. Now, Boston, after dropping that game at home, we got on, well, would they get one more alert? Mm-hmm. Nobody was ever on Miami winning an alert, but did this wake Boston up? Did this scare them? It may have worked to their benefit to drop that one game.
Yeah, it might have. It certainly seems they're locked in. I know kind of the question for everybody going into last night was, what does this team look like without Kristaps Porzingis? And they look good, and I think a big part of how the Celtics have been winning this, I think, could be a key if he can continue, maybe not playing at this pace, at this rate, but certainly something similar has been what Derek White has done. Derek White has been a good player throughout the season. He averaged about 15 points a game in the regular season, but what he's doing this postseason, I know, very small sample size, only five games, but averaging over 22 points a game, shooting like 46-47% from three. Now, I don't think all of that's going to hold throughout the playoffs, but if he can, you know, continue to play with this spark and kind of give him that spark outside of Tatum and Brown, Horford, some of those guys that they really rely on, I think that will be massive for this Celtics team.
The Heat were absent a lot with the injuries they had, but the Heat culture, the Heat way that we like so much, Boston really made it look easy. I want good games. I want some classics, and I hope we get those tonight in Philadelphia, having to buy up tickets. Because that means you can't sell them.
That's right, yes. And, I mean, that series is getting interesting with, obviously, the on-court games have been really fun, but the off-court kind of, you know, everything going on with the fan bases and going after Joel Embiid. And,
Charles Oakley, he came at him.
So, I mean, it's been a lot this series, and so you're right.
Oaktree's back.
I guess so. So we missed you. How about that?
But sure did.
No, I'm excited for that one. Going to be a late one. Make sure you go get your coffee now. You know, Philadelphia 76er fans, because you're going to need it for that last one.
They ain't getting coffee.
No.
They might be ordering those mint juleps.
Yeah, I was about to say, they've been drinking something. It's just not coffee today.
Ooh, that crowd will be right at tip time, won't it? Because that'll be a little after 9 for them.
Sure will be, yeah.
9 somewhere.
It's a late night. Or an early night.
Bucks and Pacers in Indianapolis, with the Pacers with a chance to close out the Bucks. The Bucks have really been hampered by injury.
Mm-hmm. And a 6.5-point favorite right now. It's still unclear. I know Woj tweeted out earlier this morning that there was some hope within the Bucks organization that Dame and Giannis would be able to go tonight. We haven't seen anything yet on if either of those guys would play. And certainly if one or both those guys are able to play, that changes it a lot. But without those two guys, it's going to be tough for the Bucks tonight.
Bryant, don't ask me how I did it, but I got to basketball ref last night and got deep down. And I've told people, you know, way long time ago as a child, the Knicks were my team. It was more reaction to all my Celtic friends as anything else. But I did like Bill Bradley and Willis Reed and those players. The 73 Knicks, and we were talking about that's the last time they won it.
Yeah.
51 years ago.
Crazy.
On that team, 8 Hall of Famers.
Holy cow.
Dick Barnett, Senator Bill Bradley, Dave DeBuscher, Walt Frazier, Phil Jackson. He got in the Hall of Fame from coaching. Jerry Lucas, Earl the Paul Monroe, and Willis Reed.
That's incredible.
8 Hall of Famers.
That's
unbelievable. And I think Red Holtzman, the coach, is in the Hall of Fame.
Sure.
I bet he is.
I didn't
look. I should have. But I guess I didn't get too deep. I didn't look up old Red.
I mean, it sounds like one of those. This game between the Mavs and the Clippers getting a little boring. Let me just go and get completely, you know, deep dive into basketball reference. And I mean, it's scary. You can get in there and there's no
and
way
not
out.
Get out.
Yeah, I mean, you look up and you've been searching through things for 3 hours.
And I like those teams.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. And so I mean, but there's gonna be a lot of excitement if the Knicks can find a way to wrap this up and win this series in advance. I mean, it just gets even more interesting.
I wanted to build
New York
Knicks
fan
in Boston.
Base. Yeah, I would love that. Just think about New York City if the Knicks and the Boston Celtics are playing. Oh,
but a Pacers Knicks thing would be good.
I wouldn't mind that.
They got a lot of old hate.
Sure. So I like it, and I wouldn't mind seeing the Pacers advance. And obviously I think that Knicks fan base in New York City is always fun to watch. So two really interesting games tonight and two closeout opportunities for the Pacers and the Knicks. Well, let's go ahead and get to a break. Wrap up this hour. When we come back, we're talking more NBA with Keith Smith.